This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Jepson's there, Billy Head! The goal pushed Billy Huddersfield Town! The most famous goal of Chris Billy's life.
Is this the moment for Lee Fowler? It is. Take your place in Division 2. Huddersfield Town.
Thank you.
Rupian Steve Simonson's boots now. He's missed. Steve Simonson clears the frame of the goal and collapses in a heap of tears. Huddersfield Town are promoted.
Stefan Schindler has a chance to write his name in Huddersfield Town legend. And he takes that chance!
Hello and welcome to episode 205 of the Andy Takes That Chance podcast. Town were at home on Mothering Sunday, and we wish all the mothers out there that listen to the podcast a very happy Mother's Day, including Mrs. Shaw times two, Mrs. Cosmala, and Mrs. Kilroy times two. However, it was an old flame who came back and stole the roses as Carlos Corbrand rode into town, did Carlos things, and left with 3 points. We've much to talk about this week, and helping myself, your host, Matt Shaw, to do so, I have two mummy's boys in Richard Cosmala and Ian Kilroy. How are we doing, guys?
We're all right, Matt. I think it's really weird, isn't it? Like, you know, when you've got a day to reflect on, normally we do it, obviously, well, to be fair, don't we? We do it on a Sunday, we played on a Saturday, but I don't know, I just... It's I don't know if it's good or bad because you think about stuff, don't you, on that as well. I wish we had a game midweek, but we ain't. And we've got one about cup finals against Leeds. Well, if that were a cup final, what about Rotherham? Jesus, so much riding on that. But yeah, mate, it were a tale of two halves.
Yeah. Okay, so this episode, as always, is sponsored by Magic Rock Brewing. Use our code of AHTTC10 for 10% off all orders at www.magicrockbrewing.com. Okay, so firstly, Saturday came. There were points on the board for Blackburn and Plymouth, wins for Stoke and Millwall to add to a couple of defeats for QPR and Birmingham. Friday night was kind, as the Chesties did us a bit of a favour by beating Sheffield Wednesday. And what this meant was that Town would go into this game in the bottom three for the first time since the 1st of September. Results elsewhere are pretty alarming a lot of the time, aren't they? For most of us now. And it's got that feel, doesn't it, Cozzy, of 2012, 2013 again, where us, Barnsley and Peterborough were the three most likely to go down on the last day, despite the last few months of the season being in the top six of the form table in the Championship. It's just got crazy Championship written all over it again, doesn't it?
I thought you were going to go back even further, Matt, wasn't it, to the old Brummie and Curtis Woodhouse 2000.
Still hurts, does that? Still hurts.
Yeah, to be fair, I'd take a scenario like that on the last day now, even though obviously it all went against us. I think our younger viewers will be Googling to see what happened. But yeah, oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it, mate? The only thing is you can't just rely on results going for you every week all the time and that as well. We've got to be honest, how many times have we come on our pod, Matt, and said, how the hell are we not in the bottom three, you know, early on in the season? We've said it so many times, so I don't think we can really moan now that we are in there because we've been pretty trash most of the season. So, yeah, all right, you know, there has been some unbelievable, you know, scores and things kind of seem to go in against it. But Stoke were always going to win, you know, at some point. And I think it'll do the morale so much good that the fact that they went behind to come back as well. But, yeah, it's a time for holding our nerve and, I'm clinging on the fact that we've played some of the harder teams, but as you know, you'll see in some of these stats and stuff like that, as well as record against some of the lower teams, it leaves a lot to be desired as well. And wow, you know, it's squeaky bum time. And I'm not sure if the international break's a good thing or a bad thing. I suppose it'll all depend on our result on Saturday. But it's, it was like a funeral-esque kind of vibe where I was in the stand yesterday as the goals were going in. It was really strange. I was just kind of saying before we recorded, Mike, it felt like the Sheffield Wednesday, what we'd done to them, West Brom had done to us. Obviously, Sheffield Wednesday more as dominant as us in that game, but obviously with like 4 goals in 30 minutes and I'd turn the game on their head, and all of a sudden you're thinking, what the hell? I didn't think we were playing that well. And all of a sudden, you know, here we are. We're absolutely stuffing them in that as well. And West Brom, obviously, it's similar. Horrendous first half. I did say, and I think anyone may have to brain did know, surely they couldn't be as bad as that again. Second half, I didn't think Coburn won his pants pulled down at the John Smiths, and so it proved. But I think the most worrying thing for me, Matt, was seeing some of the body language from some of our guys. We did create a lot of chances later on in the game and things like that as well. But I don't know, you looked in some of the eyes, it's almost like a bit of fear. Here we go again. We're back. We're in the bottom three. We're haunted. And that spreads to the fan base as well. But it's, we couldn't ask for a better game coming up on Saturday, can we, in that as well? And I think most people that I was talking to yesterday in the pubs after, there was like, can't win it rather than then we do it. Have to stay up, but even if we don't, mate, there's still many other games to go. And I suppose if you were doing, I'm trying to think, the Plymouth podcast at the moment, I don't think they'd be too up for it and as well. But yeah, we're used to it, mate. We've got us crash helmets on again, but you just wonder, don't you, how many times can you escape before finally it catches up on you, man?
Finally took a breath there, Cozzy. Finally took a breath. rifled through that agenda as well, didn't you, again in quick stat. Straight off the bat.
Thanks for watching, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye. Absolutely ruined us again.
Cheers, Killer.
Killer, let's talk about the game. Town 1, West Brom 4. Town Sean of Yuta Nakayama, who's now out for the season, thanks, Jonathan Hogg, is going to be a bit of a miss, I think, around the squad. He offers something a little bit different. I know he has his flaws, but he's got his positives as well. Could potentially be the last time we ever see him, as well as he's out of contract come the end of the season.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad, actually. I think if you look over the course of this season, the better results we've had, he's not been in the squad. And when he's not been playing, we're not actually taking points. And it's quite strange, I think. And I think a lot of Town fans would be quite surprised by that. But I think, Matt, we spoke about it before, his positional sense is unbelievable. He's a very strange, like, left back. And I know he can play left centre back, but he just gets in the right positions at the right time, and he was just getting into a little bit of form. I know Fotherington, whenever Fotheringham's favourite, but under Moore towards it, he did all right, and then he's looked good. And like you say, I don't think we will see him again. I think that's probably it for his Town career. But he's just a shame, because I think he's worked his way back into the team. He had a bit of a learning curve to Championship football, as we're seeing that Bojan Radulovic might also need to go through to get to the ability that Nakayama's suddenly ended up with. But it's just a shame, especially from Johnny Ogg taking him out in a challenge that wasn't necessary as well. It's just a sad end to his career at Town, really, if that is all we see of him.
It's very unlucky, isn't it? He's got 20-odd caps for Japan, and he's played 33 times over 2 seasons for us, which, you know, isn't even a full season's worth of football, is it? It's a shame. You know, he got the massive Achilles injury, didn't he, last year, just as he's starting to look good. I think he'd scored the goal against Millwall, hadn't he, which was a cross, let's be honest. That just dropped into the far post.
It's from that last early on in summer, when it's Stoke in Sun, when he absolutely...
Yeah, he scored with a header, didn't he, back post, Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? We've not really seen the best of him, I don't think, for Huddersfield Town. We've seen flashes, haven't we, where you think, yeah, this is a player here. I think he played, I can't remember who it was, but he played left wing back one game, and he pretty much pulled all the strings from left wing back. He was the only player on the pitch who can pass a ball short 5-6 yards, and it's one of my bugbears, is this, that I go on about every week in WhatsApp with you guys. But another one as well, maybe surprising, Alex Matos left out. I think people were maybe a little bit surprised that he didn't start against Leeds, and he came on, did a good job, didn't start against Cardiff. You know, maybe he's getting his minutes managed. You know, he's on loan from Chelsea, obviously, whereby you can't really overplay them, otherwise they won't send you any more players. That's just the way it is. And then he didn't start again. Matt, and the scene, go on, Cos.
I want the people to be asking Andres on Thursday when we do a press conference, because again, you just don't know, but someone reckon they knew someone who knew something, said to me about 2 weeks ago that don't rate Matos as yeah, again, yeah, so much rubbish. But to be honest, it seemed to be backed up by, you know, his minutes and stuff. And like I said, it could be the Chelsea thing or what have you and that as well. But yeah, the person said to me is Alex Mars is not rated by Andre and, you know, won't be getting many minutes. And all of a sudden, the next three games, we're seeing that. But yeah, it's, for me, that's a question that needs to be asked by, you know, the press on Thursday. It'd be interesting to see what it comes back with. Because to me, we were saying he was one of the first names on the sheet, you know, a bit ago. And all of a sudden, it's like not involved. And when he comes on, he kind of looks like he's there for lost time. But it's an head-scratcher, that. But again, new managers, new ideas, Matt, and you just don't know, do you? It might be, it could be anything, that. But obviously, we're second-guessing. But just, it's a bizarre one to me, mate. And again,
I love his energy, mate. Yeah, I love his energy and how he puts himself about. I listened to Radio Leeds and Matt Glennon said he spends too much time on the floor. And yeah, okay, maybe he does a little bit, but I quite like how he just launches himself into things and wins the ball, doesn't he? And gets up and down. I quite like him. I think there might be some naivety in some of the things he does, you know, in terms of the runs he makes and the positions he takes up. But I like him. I don't think, you know, we'll go on to the second half, but you know, the sort of the midfield itself just got completely bypassed in that second half. And, you know, if, you know, he's not getting picked tactically for a tactical reason, then, I mean, the other guys were probably just as bad. But, I mean, Town lined up in a 3-5-2, killer, your favourite formation. Strikers, again, a bit of an issue. Two wingers starting up front again, Thomas and Bergzorg. We were just discussing, weren't we, before we started recording. I don't like Thomas centrally. You do. Needs must, because Radulovic's injured again. Healy's back training, but and hopefully not too far away. Harrit's injured. And to be fair, Danny Ward, after the two goals against Watford, didn't really do enough, did he, against Leeds and Cardiff to justify starting again, I don't think.
No. I think it was more important, not necessarily what formation we went with on Sunday, but the kind of style of football. I know we're not going to go back over Cardiff too much, but that was such a distinct change, in my opinion anyway, to how we've been playing up until now, where we suddenly went quite possession-based. I know Cardiff kind of tempted us into it, but it was low tempo, kind of boring passing. Just not the kind of Town we've been this year when we've managed to get results. So to me, it was more important that we had that kind of that pace and that direct impetus again going forward. And to be fair, that's kind of what we had. We had Tom Lees driving out from the back again, and he hadn't done that for a while. He's really setting off in his run. So yeah, we just more than went with the high press again. The high press came back, the intensity came back off the ball. We're chopping the passing lanes, and that first half, as halves go, it's about as perfect as you could ask for, especially on the back of the performance that we had against Cardiff on Wednesday night. I think West Brom didn't even have a shot in that first half, which is kind of unbelievable, isn't it? Normally when Town are playing anybody, we're gifting shots away, normally out kind of outside of range where they're not going to cause too many problems, but that's kind of what we're used to seeing. I thought the setup were right. It looked good. I do like Sauber Thomas in that central role, Matt. I know he's effective with his crossing and stuff, but I just feel he's that key for us, giving him the free role to be able to do what he wants. You don't like him as a 10. I'm not necessarily sure I'd have him as that either, but just to have the ability to cause problems across the defensive line for whoever we're facing. And when he switches from left to right, defenders won't like marking him because of his pace, because of his directness, because of the way he plays with such arrogance, that we've got to make the most of him. We aren't blessed with people that can create anything. He's kind of the only one we have. So we have to make the most of him. I quite like him up there. You're right, Danny Ward's been pretty meh after Watford. Bergzorg, okay, we're pretty terrible against Cardiff, but we know what you're getting with Bergzorg, and he showed it in that first half that there's flashes of brilliance amongst hours and hours of football, which you just cannot fathom what he's even trying to do. He doesn't understand what he's going to do. We know that. So how can anyone else expect it? Quick one on Matos. I don't think Matos is getting the nod at the moment, Matt, because it's his immaturity when it comes to positional play. He's a young lad. He's not played much first team games, and he's learning. And I think when you're looking at Brighton right and the type of players he wants in the Town team for now, the guys that can do their role and kind of win on the one-on-one battles. And I don't think he trusts Matos just yet to be able to do that. But seeing that starting lineup, I couldn't argue with it whatsoever. By the end of the game, I had a few arguments, but at the beginning, and by the time we got there to 45 minutes in, it was pretty much a perfect start.
Yeah, and the man who gave us the perfect start, the doctor himself, it's a good bit of play from Tom Lees, this, isn't it? Tom Lees wins the ball quite high up, and it's a quick, direct pass into Bergzog's feet, and he gets himself one-on-one with Darnell Furlong, and Darnell Furlong's a good fullback. and he just sort of leaves him for dead, doesn't he, with a quite simple roll, and then buries it under the goalkeeper. And let's be honest, the goalkeeper's probably going to be a bit unhappy with his effort, isn't he, on that one? I think we all would be. And that's it. Town, very solid first half. Very, very well organised, very solid. Like you say, Killer, West Brom didn't have a single shot, an XG of 0.00 in that first half. And everything looked quite good. Town were, you know, you have a quick look at the table. Town are up in 19th, and you sat there thinking, do you know what? And you're tempting fate a little bit, aren't you? Because you're thinking, you know, if we hang on here and then get a win at Rotherham next week, that's 44 points, and we're almost home and hosed. And then Carlos, the magician. We've seen him do this before, haven't we? And I mean, if you're listening to this, Lee Morris, I'd turn off now. I know how much you hate Carlos Corberan, but I think you have to kind of give him some praise, unfortunately, because he made some changes, didn't he, half time? He tweaked their position off the ball, and all of a sudden they're starting to find a lot of space behind Hogg and Kasumu, and they absolutely ruined us in that area. You know, they were very clinical with the passing. We are so wasteful with our short passing under no pressure. It drives me effing insane, honestly. How many simple passes we give away under absolutely no pressure. It drives me wild, honestly. And we've done it for years. It's nothing new. We've done it for years. And the first goal they score in the second half, it comes from West Brom starting higher up and pushing higher up, you know, off the ball. Lee's kind of, I don't know if it's an interception of sorts, but he kind of gives it away a little bit. And it's an early ball back out wide, isn't it, to, I think it's Vyman, isn't it, who gets it on the right-hand side. And when Sky have paused it, when the ball's played, he's offside, isn't he, by a foot. By a boot. And to be honest with you, no linesman in the country is going to be able to spot that in real time. I mean, for us, he looked a mile offside, a mile from up in the stand. And when you watch it back, you go, oh, crap, that's a lot closer than what it actually looked in the stand. I can't sit here and blame the linesman for that killer to sort of... and sort of like
the thing is, Matt, though, you can argue there's a foul. You can argue that there's a foul on Rodoni in the first place when they get the ball back, West Brom. I thought that was a foul on Rodoni. And the second part of it, Matt, I don't think you can give the offside for the first pass. But I don't understand how a guy can't be interfering when he dummies the ball. And now from the moment the guy dummies the ball on the pass through to the striker who pulls it back, then he would have been offside. And I don't know what the rule is at the moment. Is it you have to, until you touch the ball, you're not? But then if you're standing in front of the goalkeeper and you take a shot, that's counted as interfering and wouldn't stand.
Because you're in the line of sight of the goalkeeper, yeah.
It's just such a, to me, it just doesn't make sense. I don't understand how a guy can clearly dummy the ball. All the Town players stop at that point, which they shouldn't have done. And they're at fault for that, absolutely. But there is a guy dummying the ball. And then to me, that should have been offside. I know, okay, as a rule standard today, it's not. But you kind of see where that confusion came from. But there was two aspects there. It was offside, regardless of whether we should have seen it or not, Matt. And the first one, to me, is a clear foul on Rodoni in the build-up. I don't think it would have mattered to how the game had gone from that there on. I thought Carlos's adjustments were superb. You said, Matt, there for the first goal, for our goal, that Pearson tackled the first one and then Lee's bit in for a second tackle and it sent Bergzorg away. And it did. It was fantastic. But in that second half, that's what Carlos saw. He knew our centre-backs were quick to bite in the middle and he made the most of it. But still, for their first goal, to me, it shouldn't have stood for both of those reasons, even though I understand why the linesman's not going to give it.
You know what? Wyman were crap and that whole game, and that's the only thing he did well. I thought he did a good little number with his cross as well, because he had obviously loads of space and time, and he steamed in, but he kind of made Tom Lees, he kind of just waited, jinked back and, you know, put it in for the goal and that as well. But yeah, you know what, Killer, I know it's the old cliche, when you're at the bottom, you just don't get them decisions, but don't you? It would a proper foul with that, mate. It would absolutely brutally...
just watch that back, it was a foul, yeah. It was a foul, absolutely was a foul, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is, and this is, I think... It's little things like that, isn't it, where like players feel aggrieved, should have been offside, it was a foul there, you know, we didn't cut it out, you know, and it's like we've been so dominant and all of a sudden within 5 minutes and the fan base is thinking the same, it's like shit, and it takes big balls really to kind of like...
That's what started the rot, Cozzy, that started the rot, that moment, because you're right, the Town players, you could see them thinking, why is this happening? This shouldn't stand. Yeah. And you go into this game in the relegation zone for the first time this season, so the weight of that, and then a goal goes against you that shouldn't go against you because it should have been ruled out. You could see the breakdown happening on the field from that moment, Cozzy, you are spot on there. And then I think what follows after the goal, which we'll get on afterwards, just compound it even further. But that first bit of adversity you face when you're a club that's had a little bit of poor form, like of the Cardiff performance alone, and the second half of the Leeds game, okay, it was a positive at the end of it. But again, you kind of, we felt like, even the players, I think, felt like they should have won that game if everybody stayed on the field. You're facing the adversity of going 1-0 up deservedly, but then suddenly being 1-1 in a game you should already have not put to bed, but be so far ahead, you've got a little bit of a wiggle room, and you haven't, and it's gone. And that's when players are tested. And Championship football is as much about mentality as it is about ability, because every professional footballer is brilliant on their day, but it's how they react in particular situations and particular moments. And for the first time this season under Brighton Writer, and even Worthing, to be fair, when we had to kind of stand up and be counted a little bit and that metal were tested on Sunday, we fell apart. And that was the moment for me when it started.
And I'm going to come on Bergsvall's chance, Matt, because that were the game.
Yeah, that was the next thing, because we could have gone straight back at the other end. You know, we forced an error and Bergsvall's should have scored. I've watched it back. I mean, the goalkeeper makes a good save, but he should have gone round him. And he could have gone round him centrally. And that's the disappointing thing. I mean, Bergsvall's got a little bit of stick online, hasn't he? I like him. I think he's a great character. I've got a lot of time for Delano Bergsvall. I certainly wouldn't be the first person. I don't give stick to the players anyway, but he certainly wouldn't be the first one I would pick anyway.
He keeps coming, mate. Coming energy. Yeah, we don't know what it's going to do, but he's got... We need more Bergsvall, mate. More attitudes like Bergsvall. So energy, you know, he looks like he enjoys being at the football club and that as well. I mentioned it on the pod when I was walking up to that B-team game when you have to kind of cut through the thing and he just like high-fived me. Like, all right, brother. Like, I don't even know who he is. It's like, mate, this is a guy. But you know what? I wouldn't convince that, because people will say to me, last night, if Bergsvall scored that, we'd have won. I am convinced, because to me, I thought we lost control by that. Then things, the arm wrestle were going against us. So I know goals change games, but I just not quite sure, like everyone else, was that it reverted back to that. You know, I don't think it'd be a dominant first half, but
I don't know. It's hard to tell, isn't it? You can.
Yeah, but no doubt it was a huge moment in the game. And then, again, I know you don't want to get your violin out, because you get what you said. We've only won 8 games. There's only Rotherham won less than us, so we can't moan. But I will do. But that Bartley thing, it's like...
That second goal, shite, isn't it?
It's
so
unbelievable,
shit.
Mate. He just come off his toe and he couldn't believe it. His face like, bloody hell, has that gone in? I'm like, you know, and it was just... And then if you thought the heart sunk after the first goal, the second goal, it was just, wow, it was... And then obviously you're thinking, we're losing here. How the hell are we losing this game? But it's an away end going absolutely mad wild.
I don't know if you watched that second goal back, Killer, but I think there's a foul on Tom Lees in there as well. He gets pulled back, doesn't he, as he's there for the ball. I mean, he could be stronger, so you can argue that, couldn't you, from the other side. But again, things going against us, and this is where the heads drop really, isn't it, at this moment. Because there's a pinball, it bounces for them kindly a couple of times, and I think this is where tired bodies and tired minds just kind of check out a little bit. I think this is what Huddersfield Town are at the minute. I think we've been a tired team all season. I think you go back and I've heard criticisms of the pre-season under Neil Warnock, you know how he's taken them on a bit of a jolly, if you like, to Cornwall, and the fitness levels aren't great. You know, I keep hearing this all the time, and it's kind of showing a little bit now when we're trying to press the ball. We can only press for a certain amount of time during the game, and then all of a sudden players are knackered and players are going down injured when you're trying to increase training levels. And it's been a bit of a mess. And this just looked like, to me, 3 games in a week, they just look knackered. As soon as that second one went in, everyone's just energy just drained straight out of them. And it just, for me, it just seemed like a mentally tired team. I don't think there's leaders on the field there. There's your Pearsons, your Lees, your Helics, the Hogs. I don't think for a minute they all just, you know, to coin a phrase, I don't think any of them bottled it or anything silly like that. I think it was just mentally, they just went, and everyone just took a drop.
It's hard when every game you've played all season feels like a cup final, and it has, like, we're just throwing bodies at everything because we aren't technically proficient enough to dominate games by playing football. We have to outwork teams, and it's all right saying, we'll work harder than everybody else. But then what happens is, as every professional club is very fit, if you're putting 100% in and the other team are playing like 80% for most of the game, and you're trying to win games, by the end of it, you do start dropping off. And the longer the season goes on, the less amount of time in a game you can actually press with that intensity unless you have the depth. And I just felt like it just got really panicky, Matt, especially after the Bergzorg missing. He should have gone around the keeper. It's not easy to go around the keeper there, but it's about as easy as it gets, because he's having to guess. He's having to gamble quick, the keeper, thinking Bergzorg's going to put it away. It should have been a very straightforward finishing, you 2-1 up. You know, Sauber Thomas has another meltdown after Bergzorg misses that. And then all of a sudden, we're panicking at the other end of the field. And to me, yeah, Matt, it looked like a bit of a foul, but then Lees is backing in as well. But it's just simple things we got wrong on that corner that really annoys the shit out of me.
But Killen right? shouldn't have been in the corner, because Lees should have cleared it into the bloody
yeah,
stand.
Exactly. It's sloppy though, Cozzy. That's the thing. It just mentally sloppy. That's how it
goes. What are you doing? Boot into the stands.
It's just so panicky, right? So first off, we don't have anyone on the back post, which annoys me, because if we have somebody in the back post, then we don't concede. But that's exactly what happens. West Brom's entire corner technique is rush the goalkeeper with as many players as possible, having two on the edge, so if it comes back out, they can recycle it quickly. We only had Kasumu on that. We were slacking defending. They had two on the edge. We had one in Kasumu, and that's where the goal came from. They could recycle it back in because we didn't adjust, and I don't know why we didn't adjust. It's not hard. We kind of go man for man, but we have three men in the box not marking at the corner. We have three men more.
We've done quite a lot recently. We've conceded quite a few from second phases of set piece recently, which is quite unlike us, to be honest.
It's just strange. It's lazy. It is lazy. It's lazy defending, Matt. And that's what happens, I think, after a tough season when you're fighting for your life, game in, game out, knowing you're up against it and it's so hard. You know you've got to be on it for 90 minutes. That eventually, when things start going against you, like we're facing now because we've slipped into that bottom three, these things become really difficult things to stay at the entire time. That the corner goal actually frustrated me more than everything else. Carlos changes tactics at halftime to try and hit the balls over our fullbacks, knowing Matt Pearson is pretty weak when he's being run at. And that's where kind of a lot of the chances came from. And that's Carlos Corberan as a genius. He made sure he could drag the centre-backs with Lees and Helic out, and he kept playing that ball, Matt, like you said, in the second half. There was no real midfield for Town because West Brom didn't play through it. The ball straight away into the striker's feet, who came deep, brought Town centre-backs out, and then the next ball was over the court, over the full-backs' heads. Even Brody Spencer had a bit of a torrid time, to be honest. I didn't think he was as solid as he has been. He didn't necessarily make any mistakes, but again, it's just that kind of pressure from them flipping the ball over the full-backs from after drawing the centre-backs out really cost us. But it's just, we didn't readjust to anything that they did at all in the game, and I find that very frustrating to watch. I don't think, like you say, Matt, no one's bottling it. It's not that. It's just mental fatigue after a tough season. And when things start to go against you, you feel like a victim. And it looks like Town were playing like they felt like victims of decisions that went against them and results that went against them the day before, and they weren't able to get over from it.
The thing is, Killer, though, I've mentioned it before, Matt, but I always go back to five aside. I think if that, your cost kind of a season, if your cost lose absolute thunder, if that is the second goal rather than that absolute scramble and Bartley kind of nuts it in. I think you kind of shrug your shoulders and just think, okay, 2-1, what can you do about that? You get away. But the fact that with the third goal and that second goal were just an app. Honestly, I've watched it so many times. It's embarrassing, isn't it? It's absolutely embarrassing. I know it could have gone anywhere, but it just, people just like sitting on the ball and nearly falling over, and it comes to Bartley. I think sometimes a tactical just deflates you even more when you're losing and when you were so dominant and that as well.
You're getting the goals mixed around here, Cozzy, because that second goal was the one where it sort of like rumbles in, doesn't it? The third goal's the Thunder Bastard, isn't it, from outside the box?
What I'm trying to say is, like, if the Thunder Bastard is the second one, I think you're just like, okay, what can you do about that? I know I'm trying to be an amateur psychologist here. You're like, what do you do about that? Come on, let's go on with it. The fact that second goal was just like, oh my God, like pinball, and, you know, it was just a total deflation. Like when Bartley goes in, it's like, just quickly after conceding that first one and then so dominant in the first half. I just think mentally, like, that's a bit of a different thing. Maybe it could be wrong. I'm talking bollocks, it won't be the first time. But I just think sometimes how the goals go in is that as well. It's like a big thing. And, yeah, we expect professional footballers to be, come on, let's get back into it. But I don't think sometimes it's as easy as that, especially when you've lost as many games as we have. And I just thought at that 2-1, I thought that we're done. I thought we are done. And that when Del Boy were through, I thought, bloody hell, here's a chance of redemption. But I think it just summed it all up, Matt, to be honest. Just like the confidence just had gone out of the team. But come on to the third one. I know you're going to, yes.
What a stunning strike.
Matt, I got some abuse. I stood up and clapped, mate.
Stunning goal, that.
And it was sensational, mate.
It's just unbelievable. How the technique, how he got behind it. And you just think, it's their day, and it's not our day, it's their day. And to be honest, that just compounds everything that you've said, Killer, because things are going against us, and then this guy just smashes one into the top corner like that. I don't think he's scored a goal. I've never seen him score a goal like that before. And then that comes out of nothing, and you just think, do you know what? You've got to draw a line under this. It's not our day, is it? And fair play. That is a great goal, isn't it?
The finish is fantastic. I would point out that it still came from Matty Pearson on right back getting targeted a little bit. That's where the run kind of came across, and the entire town team overreact. Like for the second goal, for the corner there, we overreacted again, and everyone kind of ran to the line to stop the shot going in, and no one went to the man, and it kind of was a bit of a mess. And then for the third goal, whilst the finish is unbelievable, and there's nothing you can do when a guy smashes a ball like that and it's still rising 30 yards later when it's going into the middle of the goal, like it was unbelievable. It was an amazing finish. But again, there's little symptoms there. You can look at how Town's shape was to see what kind of mental state the team was in that second half. In that, as soon as Pearson's got the ball, you can see the rest of the team kind of panic a bit. They all shift over towards him, knowing he's going to get beaten and that West Brom are going to create something from it, which actually created the space for the finish. So there is still something there that Town could have adapted or should have done a little bit better to stop so much space. But when he's smashing it in like that, there's very little you can do, really. And whilst, Cozzy, I wouldn't quite stand up and clap it in my own home stadium, I can appreciate why somebody could, because
give
it was
a nice little nod and just go fair play, lad. But
I mean, the only time I can ever think of something like with Billing at Forest back in the day, but there's a guy just I want to mention. I've never known a guy change a game as much. Michael Johnson, he was absolutely sensational, mate. Second half, I don't know what Corbyn said to him, but even with that goal, you know, that he laid off for the assist. He liked trying to dance on people, having a go. He was massive, mate, in the game. Absolutely massive. Two goals and assist. And I just thought, God, we've got no one like him, really. And kind of wings don't do what he does. It's just, he was just sensational, mate. And they've got so many of them good players. I think I know some people saying in playoffs, if they get there, I think they'd be the team to be on, personally. But they were good. And but where were they first half?
But what they did, Cozzy, what they did really well is every time they got it, they did something different. Like you watch Town players, if Sauber Thomas gets it, you kind of know he's going to the outside. Yeah. They changed everything they were doing. The thing that really annoys me about Town, Matt, and what you were saying earlier about the short passing being so frustrating, when we've got the ball and we're kind of attacking, it's like A passes to B and then C decides to move at that point. It's really kind of methodical, 1-2. And then he moves. Whereas with the way West Brom were playing after half time, it's like a game of chess. They know seven moves later.
Metronomic, weren't they? They were really good.
They know exactly where people are going to be at what particular parts of the game. If they get into the bottom corner, there's going to be a striker dropping back onto the box. And to be fair, we had that little bit under Neil Warnock, and it's early days yet for Brighton, right? But whenever we have the ball, it just doesn't feel like that. So when Mickey Johnson's doing that yesterday, it's like, oh, how can they do it? He's going inside and outside. Pearson, honestly, he'll be dreaming about it. He'll be having a nightmare about him for weeks after Sunday. It was a wonderful performance to put in that second half, unfortunately for us, because realistically, Neil's performance alone won West Brom those the 3 points.
I was assured by my cousin, who's a big Rangers fan, that Mikey Johnson's shite. So I don't know what you can put in that. And Chris, the West Brom fan who I speak to a little bit in our Championship chat group, told me that he only plays well in the first half and is useless in the second half. So, you know. So that completely spun everything around on his head there, didn't he? But I mean, Matty Pearson in recent weeks has completely pocketed Jack Clark and, to a point, Crescencio Somerville, two of the best, or the two best left wingers in the league. I mean, he was one of the symptomatic of the fitness issues for me, Matty Pearson. He looked absolutely shattered second half. And even then, Town 4-1, and I think if you pull a goal or two back, it just lifts the crowd a little bit. But unfortunately, Jack Radoni and Danny Ward should score, shouldn't they? They both have chances to score, to pull something back. And I mean, Jack Radoni in front of goal this week's not had the greatest time, has he? I mean, he's not had the greatest time since he joined us in front of goal a lot of the time. But I mean, one of them should do better there, shouldn't they? And that just gives you a little lift, doesn't it? And I know you lose the game, but you finish on a slight high of scoring and the crowd cheer, and you can kind of go off and not trudge off feeling sorry for yourself. You can go off with, it just gives you a little something just to cling on to for the next game. But I mean, it's disappointing, Killer, isn't it? They should really do a bit better there. I don't really know.
You want them
to
score. You want a bit of fun. Yeah, well, you just want to, you're not going to win the game at that point, but you just want your strikers to at least bag, just to get a little bit of confidence, a little bit of form. But to be fair, Matt, everything else went against us in that game. What more could we have expected in that second half? It was, it's just a shame for Adoni because he did everything right, didn't he? He's taken the ball down. Yeah. He's gone across the defender. He's made it easy for himself. And then the easiest part of it, which was actually just a pop in the back of the goal, he's straight at goalkeeper. It's just, it's really worrying that this kind of shift in look and confidence is happening at this point of the season, because it's not a good, it's a recipe for disaster. And you'd expect at least one of them to go in. You'd expect to score at that point. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. Although, to be fair, having lost 4-1 on Sunday, it feels like we actually got a -1 point for the game because it's put us that far behind everyone else in the race for avoiding relegation now, because our goal difference beforehand wasn't two, but we were -15, -16 before. Which sounds awful, but I think now you're looking at 4 or 5 goals behind, so you need an extra point now. Whereas just going into it on Sunday, you didn't.
It was really damaging. That performance is really damaging because that's -3, isn't it? The goals there. We were quite close with QPR before. I think there was a goal between us and QPR, and now all of a sudden we're looking at the table and we are on -19 and QPR are -14, and that's 5 goals. That's the point. That's a point, isn't it?
Well, Wednesday,
Birmingham. Chef Wednesday -25, so they're 6 worse than us. So still that's why they're second bottom. But I mean, we're joint second bottom is where we are at the minute, and I've got no idea how we've ended up there. We're still 14th in the form table despite losing the last 2 games. It's mad, isn't it?
The thing that scares me, Matt, is just like we've only won 8. I know the draws, blah blah blah, but we've only won 8 games. There's only rather than one less. The facts speak for themselves. And I think the thing with this game is that I did that Yorkshire Rivals thing on Thursday, and I said we'd lose 1-0. I thought Corbyn would have all the answers. I thought it would have Corbyn game. Yeah, I thought it was going to be tight, and you know they'll sneak something. But I think I'm thinking, hang on a minute, mate. You said we'd lose on Thursday. We've lost again. So what's the big deal? But the big deal is it's just how it happened, mate. That is the thing. How we folded. How
it's the goal difference, the body language, the tiredness. And when I'm watching that, that's the first time, genuinely the first time this season where I've gone, yeah, we could drop here.
But we've got Rotherham away.
I don't think we will. I genuinely don't think we will. I don't. I don't think we will. But that's the first time I've watched a Huddersfield Town team this season. I watched Huddersfield Town last season and quite a lot. I just thought, shit, this lot are going down. Whereas this season, that second half, the first time I've thought, oh crap, it could happen. Not saying it would, but I just thought, oh, it could happen because this.
We were doing that Leeds pod last. It feels like that one about 5 weeks ago. That game, it's incredible. We were sat here, weren't we, last Sunday? Like, wow, what a point!
I walking away. It's only 8 days ago. Eight days. We walked away from that thinking that's a great point. Is that? Yeah. And we're looking up, and 2 games later, we turned in a shite performance against Cardiff, which, where we should have drawn, and then we deserved to get beat by West Brom. There's no. Absolutely no two ways about that. You can't sit here and then claim anything else. We did deserve to get beat. We got absolutely carlost in that second half, unfortunately.
Do you think Andre could have done all different or not? Or is it just, would it just one of those games you can't really do much, like a thunder bastard and a bit of luck from Bartley and the offside?
I mean,
you get.
Carlos Corbrand's been there a lot longer than what Andrew Brownwright has been here 2 minutes, hasn't he? He still has to have Kevin Russell on the bench because he doesn't know the players yet. But, I mean, Carlos Corbrand's got a squad there that he's been there longer. He knows them more. He's got more quality. He's got a lot more available to him than Brian Wright. And again, he's having to twist. I mean, I don't know what he could have done other than, I think we missed Balker, to be honest. I think the pace of Balker would have made a big difference in that game. I think we'd have played a back four, to be honest, if Balker had been available. I think he's, and when he came on, you could see immediately when he came on. I mean, at 2-1, we switched to 4-4-2 anyway, didn't we? And it was that which really sort of, because we went chasing the game, which is fine, and we need to get points. But it was that sort of changing system really left a lot of holes as well, where we just got absolutely run roughshod through, didn't we? And it happens. Unfortunately, they had better players than us and they played well. It's just, it's going to happen, unfortunately. The goal difference is a nightmare. I think just the way it happened was just a bit of a, especially after the other results as well. Because going into it, you just thought, oh, shit, this is just one of these seasons again where everything's going crazy.
Fifth beat 22nd, what's the big deal? Fifth beat 22nd in a game of football, that's pretty good happening, isn't it? But it just seems mentally we're all, as a fan base, and just up the players, that has damaged. But, oh, God, it feels we're all...
I mean, QPR Matt,
quick one,
though,
Matt, just a quick one, Matt, to go back to if you could have done anything different in that second half. Would you not have fancied a bit of a 4-2-3-1 and just trying to hit on the break quick, knowing that we don't have the fitness to last at 90 minutes? He spoke of it himself, saying we don't have the fitness to press for 90 minutes. I just expect more of a system. Very quickly after half time, to be honest. But then I think this got after 51 minutes, didn't it? So it's a 5-minute gap. Mm. But that's what I was hoping to see in that second half. I'd have shifted it around, but it's easy sitting here and doing it and saying it. But
I don't know if the window's there really, is it, for that when they scored? I mean, you could have done it at 1-1, but at that point you probably get criticised for shutting up shop to a point, wouldn't you? But you know, if you'd have drawn 1-1, you'd have been quite happy with that.
The thing is, no, Matt, we've lost to a Cardiff team who's, you know, had an amazing win on Saturday, incredible finish, what a game. Ipswich are just like the, I don't know how to call it. If you want to watch amazing games of football, just go watch Ipswich. But so Cardiff have won at Beatrice, they've hit some form, and then we've lost to West Brom. But all of a sudden it feels like we, I don't know, it just feels, oh my God, where are we headed? But I know the results are always going to, when there's so many teams down there, they're always going to go all over the place and stuff like that as well. And I don't, it's surreal. I'm not meant to remind myself of that Leeds game.
I think what upset me though, Cozzy, was did you see West Brom versus QPR midweek? QPR should have won that game. They were comfortably better than West Brom. So I expected us to go into this game to have a bit more of a better second. I didn't expect that second half just because QPR should have won the game. Kipre, honestly, he was amazing. He was unbelievable.
It was a right save, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, but that wasn't the best part, right? 5 minutes after that, he goes out for a throw-in after he's absolutely clattered somebody. The ref not only not given the foul, he's given West Brom the throw-in as well. And he just stood there, a bit like Eric Cantona when he scored and just put his hands on his hips and just looked at the crowd. Kipre did that right in front of the Queen's Park Rangers fans. Oh, they were frothing. He stood there for about 20 seconds. The game had started and he was still stood there. It was unbelievable. But I think that upset me more, seeing how QPR were about as close to us as they can get. And if you're looking at the betting odds, I think QPR and us now are more or less joint kind of third favourites for the drop. That's kind of who we're competing with. And they gave West Brom a bit of a battering. Even though at the end of 2-2, they were so good. And only by the grace of Kipre's hand did they not win that game. I know it doesn't work like that, but you know what I mean. But it's just, I expected us to be a bit closer to them in that second half than what we were. So that really kind of, that's another thing, Matt, well, like you say, where you're thinking, oh shit, we are in trouble here.
The stadium was a sad tie, wasn't it? I was sad with the stadium. It might have been that Coventry game last year when Jokeres absolutely destroyed us. And by the end, 80 minutes, how many were in? 5,000, 6,000? The skies were grey, leaden, the rain were pouring. It just was sad, wasn't it? I mean, I don't blame anyone for going home and Mother's Day and what have you, but it just, wow, the mood compared to the Leeds game. I was just watching that kind of, I keep going to Access All Areas, whatever, that thing when they review it and last week, and the vibrancy there every time we had a corner, like Thomas and Rudoni, like, come on, a new 2BR, and everyone was smiling, and the energy would just totally contrast. You couldn't have got a bigger contrast. And I kept telling myself on the way home, getting absolutely soaked, walking back to Vulcan, where Rotherham's coming, but oh my God, surely we can't bugger that up. No.
No, I mean, Town fans probably against Leeds were great, weren't they? And the previous home game for Brighton Reiter as well were really good, but everything just went really flat, didn't it, for that game? Even in the first half when we were winning, it was a little bit flat. I don't know if it was just the early kick. Sometimes early kickoffs just have that weird effect, don't they, on the crowd? But I think the Town fans really need to push it as much as they can, don't they, in these remaining 9 games, because it does make a difference. You know, you hear all the time that from players and from managers, you know, it does make a difference if you make a noise. So hopefully we can be a bit more positive. I remember, I think it was like 20 minutes into the game, Brody Spencer misplaced a 5-yard pass, and there's like loads of groaning and, you know, shouting at him. And it's just like, he needs to be a bit, I know it's frustrating, but it just needs to be a bit more positive until there's something real to whinge about. I mean, whinge when we're 4-1 down, but not when a 19-year-old tries to pass, you know, through three players to set someone up on goal and fails to do so. That's not the time to kick off and lose your shit, is it? But Let's take a quick break there and then we'll come back and talk about the Cardiff game. Let's listen to me and Cozzy shilling McDonald's. Why not? Cozzy, what's your favourite away day?
Matt, it's got to be the City Ground at Nottingham. Just old school stadium, you're right near the pitch, great atmosphere. But there's nothing like playing at home. Same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Yeah, exactly, Cozzy. Me and you selling out for the almighty pound, aren't we? Absolutely.
Yeah, we've lost us VPN.
Oh, Black Burger King, isn't it? So, there we go. We just, yeah. just technically just
cheaper than burgers,
Burger King as well for free.
VPNs, isn't
there? No, NordVPN. Do you know what? I've got NordVPN, and I tried to use it the other day, and it just won't work. So you know they're not sponsored anymore. So I can call them a bunch of shithouses. So there we go. Yeah, so let's move things on. So we've got a good 10, 15 minutes left on this fine podcast. Brady and Tom on the warm-up for the game did discuss the Cardiff game briefly, so that we don't really need to go into that too much because the boys did a job for us. Did a job, didn't they? For this one, I think Cardiff really just found our kryptonite. To be honest, you sit deep against us and we have got absolutely no idea what to do because we can't pass a football. We must be the worst team in the Championship for passing a football. Have I told you it drives me mad? I think I have told you it drives me mad. But, you know, and we just had no idea what to do, did we? And that was the thing. Me and you, Killer, sort of disagreed slightly. You thought they changed the style a little bit, whereas I just thought Cardiff had just dropped off. And we just didn't know what to do because there was no space to use the pace, you know, and nowhere to move into. And they closed the passing lanes off and we just had absolutely no idea. But having said that, Cardiff scored and then Danny Ward should have equalised at the end. And I think Andrew Brighton-Wright was right. We were the better side in the second half. Cardiff allowed us to be the better side in the second half because they could keep us at arm's length. But this is where we struggle for me is when teams sit off, you know, Hull at home, really struggled. West Brom, when they got on top, really struggled. Couldn't really create much. Cardiff, they've created a bit of a blueprint in how to play against us, and that's a slight worry as well. Just sit off us and let us have the ball, and we won't hurt you. Whereas if you attack us and push forward, when you know, then we'll hurt you with the gaps. You know, so that I think that was a bit of a crap week, really, in terms of this, because Cardiff have exposed us a little bit in some of our weaknesses, and then West Brom have exploited other ones in the second half. But saying that, we sat here, I think, before the Leeds game, Cozzy and guys, we sort of said 3 points from this week is what we need to keep going, and we've ended up with one. And it's not great, really, is it, at this stage of the season? But, you know, we've got Rotherham on the horizon. We have to win that game. That's always been a must win. Win that game, we're probably back out of the bottom three and we can start panicking less. But that Cardiff game, Killer, it was just so frustrating, wasn't it, in just watching it, when a team lets you play and you can't, it's just so frustrating, isn't it? It's literally like a boxer, like the boxer with a little guy with his hand on your head and you're swinging away, aren't you, and you can't connect. It was just one of those games.
I don't know why every team doesn't play that way against us. If we've had this problem for about two years since Carlos has left. If you when you play in town, if you just say, right, here you go, boys, you have the ball, try and beat us. Against Cardiff, I think we have 53% possession, right? Which doesn't sound very much, but for us, that's gigantic. We don't win games when it's 30. That's it. We don't want it. And if you look at teams that win games at the bottom of divisions, normally that's kind of the way it goes. But it's just they sat there, like you say, Matt, they're just like, right, you take the ball, you try and break us down, try and drag us out and see what you can do. And when you fail, because you can't pass it 5 yards, as you've pointed out, Matt, well, then we'll hit you on the counter quick, just like you're trying to do to us. And to be honest, I thought Cardiff were pretty poor. I didn't think they were that good. I thought, like you say, Matt, we should have come away with the draw. We had barely any chances, but we should have bagged. We didn't.
Danny Ward won, isn't it, at the end?
That was it was awful.
He's a killer. That
What is it? 2 yards? How many yards out would you give him for that one, Matt?
Two.
And he's not even close. What would he look like? I wondered if the defender got a touch on it at first, but I think he's just whiffed, hasn't he? I think he's just
took his eye off it, hasn't he?
But he's got to put that away, and you're coming away then with a 1-1 draw, and you're thinking, right, great. And Matt, I hope it is a poor performance, and I don't want to be the first one to go on record at criticising Brighton Wright approach to games. But I'll be honest, when he came in, he said, we're not going to change too much, right? We're going to play the way it's been. We've been playing because it's working and we're in a relegation fight. And in the summer, kind of the inference was, we'll look at it then. But it was really from the first minute, we're passing it around at the back quite slowly, quite pedestrian, but we are retaining that ball possession. And now we've just not done it. And to me, Matt, it's more than just that it was we were tired and that we had an off day. I think it was an actual tactic to do it that way. And I'll say that because in the 92nd minute, we have a dead ball and Nichols passes it out. I think it's out to Ealy on left-hand side. I think it passes back to Leeds, back to Helic, and back to Nichols, right? On the 92nd minute, honestly, I was fuming. I had to get it in this podcast, right? Because I've been angry about it since then. And no one else has really mentioned it. But it drove me mental. 92 minutes, 1-0 away from home. We're apparently playing direct football and we're messing about passing it around at the back. And now you can't tell me that's not a change in approach. It was. And to me, that's the first thing that has been said. What we're going to do with Brighton right here is play the same way. But when I'm looking at it, Matt, against Cardiff, I saw something very different. And now West Brom first half, we were back to kind of the old way. And if that's it, and then that's kind of the only time we're going to see it this season, fine, I get it, you're learning. And maybe thinking about it now, it's a short week, you've just played Leeds, you've played with 10 men for half the game, you are tired and you're trying to keep possession a little bit so you don't have to press all game, knowing you've got West Brom as well on Sunday. And I kind of think that will have come into it a little bit. But just, it really frustrated me. And I don't want to get carried away with it, but then when you see what happens in second half at West Brom game, you add it all together, I'm worried. And yeah, we have got Rotherham coming up this weekend, and that could be a godsend because they are so poor. But it's only a godsend if you go and win, because if you don't, then you're facing a whole world of trouble after what we've just seen in the last two games and what could come on Saturday. It's a huge week for Town this week. And it's a huge week for Brighton, right? Because the direction of this club, I honestly believe, will depend a lot on how this weekend goes based on what I've seen in the last two games.
Shitting yourself, Coz.
The only thing I'd say, mate, I just hope Ryan Wintle's all right after that horrendous assault by Jaheim Edley. Embarrassing.
What an absolute whopper. He should have been. He should have had a second yellow him, and then he got the winner against Ipswich at the weekend. Football.
The only thing
Who
I've got
says
to add on
bad
this,
people
Matt,
don't get good things.
The only thing I've got to add on this, Matt, I was sat in the Bernabeu at the same time as this game watching Real Madrid, and their fans were abusing their own players. After 25 minutes, they were whistling. They whistled at half time. They got the anchors out. It's incredible, mate. And I'm just thinking, I don't know how to say in like English, in Spanish, like, you should come and watch Huddersfield Town, because like, and I couldn't get a signal or nothing, like, so it was just one of those awful moments where you just like press over to the end and woo-wee. So I didn't have a clue what was going on, but I just think, God, how people just like, I know it's expectation levels and stuff, but I just thought, you don't know your bloody born, you guys, and that as well. You're getting a bit mad because they're having a bit of possession like German's team. But no, I mean, the war miss was a funny one. I mean, I don't think he expected it to come to him and that as well. But you know what, Matt? I thought, again, I don't know. I know we played well against Leeds, but the big thing for me was always that, you know, how much did that take out of us? And it was always a chance we could lose that game. There was so many times I was speaking to that thought we were going to get some out of the game. And I just thought, no guarantees whatsoever. You know, this and Sunday's game, and we haven't. And, yeah, we needed something. But this is the thing. But one thing I don't like, Matt, I know you always say it and everyone's saying, but in the next three games, we need this, we need that, we need that. We shouldn't be saying this. Just each game, man. We don't, you know, we need four out of this or six out of that or eight out of that. It's just like, no. Are you having a power cut there, Matt? So your light went down.
No, I didn't see that.
You were like disco inferno, but yeah, obviously last year against Cardiff, that Sunday dinner time, a bit of a special day, wasn't it? A couple of thousand town fans. There weren't many down on Wednesday night, but honestly, them people that go to them games are just, honestly, massive. The club should do something, shouldn't they, I think, for the people like that. Just, I don't know. Were that all of the week, give them some biscuits or something, but in a way, did you see that?
Yeah, they give them, like, send them packed and do all sorts of haul, which is really good. Yeah. They do free travel, they do biscuits, the ticket prices, I think, for upcoming game are about a tenner. They do a lot of good things, haul. They're doing a lot of good things, and the fans are absolutely on side with their owner at the minute. So, you know, more power to them. Had a crap few years, didn't they? Right, so what is next on our agenda, Mr. Kosmala? Kevin's video diary. Interesting. I watched it once. I've only listened to it once. I haven't really digested it fully. There wasn't really a lot, really. I think there were two things. One thing I liked in it, a lot. And I think one thing I probably didn't like that much, I mean, forget about Leeds United, just concentrate on ourselves. I know they're the most insufferable fan base going, but just put it in the, you know, just park it, move forward, concentrate on Huddersfield Town. I'm sure they will do. But I quite like how feisty and determined Kevin Nagel is to get things right, because you kind of contrast it to 12 months ago, and there was all the talk about self-sustainability and, you know, and all this, and you only need £6 million wage bills to get promoted and all that sort of stuff, which turned out not to be the most true. But I quite like now how he's absolutely living it, isn't he? He's living the Huddersfield Town thing, and I do like how sort of passionate he is about it. I mean, sometimes it's spilled over maybe incorrectly the odd time here and there, you know, with his a few things with the Darren Moore thing and what have you. But I quite like generally what he has to say. And I didn't really find anything too controversial either with what they said this time. It was just fine. It was a fine video diary. I mean, probably want to talk about the other lot less. I'm sure they will do going forward. It was the first time they spoke since that game, so that's fine. I mean, I just quite enjoy how, you know, he's so determined to get it right. He's coming over, so there's again, it's another all hands on deck, boots on the ground job, and he's flying back over. I'm sure there's some more culinary delights of West Yorkshire that he could visit. You know, Mary D's or something, Merry England, all these places could wait. Cozzy will happily take him to Huddersfield Market for a full English, won't you, Cozzy, as well? There's all sorts that you'd like to do. But what did you make of it then, Killer? I'll let you go first.
I think these things, it's just, you've got to be careful, aren't you? I think if you're winning, you could say more or less anything and nobody really cares. They're just jumping on board. Yeah, nice one, Kev. And when you lose, they're going to look into it and try and find things to pick out. I do think there was something said, though, that actually is important. When Darren Moore was here through those wonderful games we all sat through week in and week out and loved every minute of it, didn't we, Coles? We loved it. But he always said, he's our man. And there was a slight change of tone eventually towards the end, saying, oh, we'll see, kind of thing. Yeah. And now when to be honest, to me, Matt, he mentioned about we brought in the fire pyre in January and they kept saying Cartwright's done a great job. But to me, it just felt like a little bit, just a tiny little bit, and I might be off the mark here. But when you're saying that the January firepower is not kind of working, which is basically what he said, and then you're talking about Cartwright, who's supposedly the guy that's kind of brought them in, having what was said about Moore before and all that kind of went, I don't know if there's not a warning there, but just something to keep an eye on maybe. But to me, just this, do you know what I do like about Kev, though, in these little video diaries is when he actually talks about the games, he gets it. He understands how Town are playing. He doesn't miss very much. He knows we collapsed in that second half and he's talking about it. And when people spoke about, they kind of called him out saying Alex Matos should start. I didn't take that from it. I thought that was a bit of a, not out of context. It's just a guy saying, I don't know why he's not starting. I'd start him. It wasn't that I'm going to tell him that he has to start. It was more in his opinion, because it just sounds like Dave and Kev are just having a bit of a chat like kind of we are on here. And I really enjoy it. I do enjoy that kind of insight to the club. But the lead stuff, yeah, that's I'm sure Coz is going to go into that a little bit more. But I just feel it's a bit, I don't know, a bit cheap. Is it cheap? Is that a bit harsh? But like you say, Matt, it's the first time they've done one since the Leeds game. And to be fair, he took absolute pelters. They got him proper rattled. And
they're still taking Leeds fans.
I'm all for it.
I can't be bothered.
That's the thing. But I get it. I understand it. And to be fair, if I was the owner, I'd be taking cheap shots all the time. So I can't sit here and say I don't understand why he's doing it. I told you the same thing. So I can't be hypocritical on that. He also apologised for Town's performance on Sunday. I don't think he should. Why does he have to apologise? He has spent money in January. He's done everything he said he's going to do up until this point. I don't think there's much that's been missed when he said, I'm going to do this. And he's done it. The stadium's not been sorted out yet, but these things take time. When it comes to like the financial outlay of what we got in January, I don't think any of us kind of expected even what we did get. So I understand he doesn't really need to apologise for how the playing squad performed on Sunday. But to me, I like it. I'm all for him. Keep him going. I don't have to every game. At least it's not when we win. I think that upset me at the beginning. They kind of own it every time we won.
No business if they did their own podcast. No one would listen to us. They wouldn't need to. That's fair enough. I was going to make a point then, but I've forgotten what it is. So, Cozzy, I'll just go to you, pal.
Yeah, I saw a little bit differently to you, Killer, with the Cartwright thing, because he said he delivered and the rest. So he were like, he were really blowing smoke up him and that as well. To me, he was trying to force. He knows Cartwright under pressure because you see he's getting tweeted at every day.
I just felt he did the same thing with Moore, Cosse. I think he did the same thing with the Moore. Like when he was being questioned by the media, you're like, nah, he's our man. He's our man. He's the guy. It's going to take a bit of time. Then all of a sudden it switched. And I ain't heard Cartwright mentioned in one of these video diaries before. And I might be wrong. If I am, please correct me. But it was just a strange one to suddenly pick up, especially when you consider Bojan Radulovic was so bad against Cardiff. He was awful, wasn't he? He was absolutely awful. To me, it was honestly... No, like Juskovic bad for when he came on, when he were on loan, yeah. And Town fans booed him off after 30 minutes and he never played for us again. To me, Radulovic against Cardiff was that. And it was no surprise for me to not see him in the squad on Sunday, although I think it was down to illness, Matt. Is that the official party line?
Injury, I think it was, for Sunday. There was one thing he mentioned. He said people in the comments are having a go at the people that I've employed. That was one of the lines he said, wasn't it? Right. And he did kind of stick up for him a little bit. But as he should, you know, they're his men. And until he otherwise, you know, I wouldn't expect anything less than him to back his men.
It's up to him. Who are we to like say when he should come on and do his video diaries and that as well? But I just felt like it should be done after Rotherham. It was an international break. You could have took a bit of stock on that as well. Again, he were, you know, you want that. You know, Moore's got to win this next game to go, but I mean, we've got to win next week and blah, blah. I just felt, well, I suppose that's a good thing about Kevin. Maybe bad thing, he does stuff on impulse and stuff, don't we all? And he just
doesn't hide. It just feels like a thing.
Like when they come out and do it. But yeah, obviously, the Leeds thing, you've covered that, Matt. But it's, you just don't know what's going to happen next year and that's all. But like you said, Killard, the steely determination and that. I like the stuff he was saying, you know, we've learned from mistakes and we've learned on the job and we'll get it right and we're so much better. But again, we're in bottom three, aren't we? Just like, this sounds all so promising, in my opinion. And obviously, it's just talk at the moment, but if we can just stay up. I honestly think we've got a bright future, but it's a big issue at the moment, mate.
I think we need to stay up to see it, maybe. Even if we go down, I don't think Kevin Nagel will change tact. I'm quite happy with his running of the club at the minute. I mean, last summer we were hamstrung, weren't we, with the financial forecast, FFI, isn't it? Financial forecasting, whereby we weren't really allowed to spend any money, and they managed to get that changed for January. And some of the choices we made this season, I mean, bringing Neil Warnock back in hindsight now doesn't look the most, but you couldn't say no, could you, last year? You know, and there's no one last summer was saying no to Neil Warnock, but now you're kind of looking at it going, maybe it wasn't the best idea. And Darren Moore thing again, that was, I mean,
they lost again.
I told you so, Cosy, but I mean, that was just a disaster. And it's those decisions which is where we landed now. I think Andrea Brighton Wright has picked up a difficult position, and there was a good start, but we've seen a quick revert to type, haven't we, with some players. There was one thing in the game which I didn't feel comfortable with, and that was when Jonathan Hogg came off and he had a massive argument, didn't he? Mm. I mean, it's just Hoggy being Hoggy, isn't it? I think I think he was blaming other people as usual, but sure. I thought it was along the lines of, they're getting in here, there and there, we need to do something about it. And I think Brighton Wright kind of nodded at that, but you know, if I hear it, there's just some body language, wasn't there, which was a little bit that we saw under Darren Moore rather than what we've seen since John Worthington. And I'm just hopefully it's tired. I think we'll stay up. I do. I'm quite a pessimistic Town fan. I know Kevin Nagel is super positive and he doesn't like pessimism and all that, does he? So he probably doesn't listen to us. But I mean, I'm quite positive about the future. I just really hope we stay up, because we'll go back so many steps having to try to get out of League One, dig out of League One again. It's such a
Birmingham down, it could be happening, that, couldn't it? Let's do it.
That'd be lovely, you know, with Curtis Shithouse or something, you know. That'd be the name of the episode, wouldn't it? But I mean, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Just to send Birmingham down after after Trevor Francis screwed us over with Peter Unlove and what have you that season. That was it, wasn't it? He screwed us over with Peter Unlove. He recalled Peter Unlove to swap him for Curtis Woodhouse for Sheffield United, and then Curtis Woodhouse ended up relegating us. That's such poetic shithousery, that, isn't it?
I just think, Matt, though, if you can win on Saturday and get above that dotted line again, we go into the national break, I think things will feel a bit better, mate. Hopefully get one or two players back fit. And yeah. But this is that's kind of hope and sense of Huddersfield Town. But I think we're all a bit battle weary out here, just years of relegation, and it does look incredible when you look at back of our last six, seven seasons. You just see that bizarre season of Catalyst. It's just here we go again. But again, even Potter, less out of me, we're like, would it be the worst thing League One and all this stuff? It's like, yeah, it bloody would, man, because
sure, you look at something like
you're burning away, and we don't want to be going there again, do we?
Pizza Church. Can you imagine after sort of going toe to toe with Leeds over the last few years? Next year we have to play their bloody under 21s in the Pizza Trophy. That just humiliating. Yeah. Stuff like that's humiliating, isn't it? Yeah. And you don't want to do that. And having to play like Bradford,
people,
maybe.
Yeah, so people you always get in the battle, I'll be there wherever, and that's great. But we don't want to go down. Trust me, guys, we do not want to go down. And
no,
I love the division. Yes, next season again, Burnley come down, Sheffield United. I mean, there'll be some great games, mate.
I'll be honest, mate. If you said to me, if we go down this season, I guarantee we win the league next year in League One. I'd take that because, you know, then Huddersfield Town would have won all four divisions and would be the only team in English football to have won all four divisions in the top title three times, and that'd be pretty cool. But football, we haven't had automatic promotion since 1983, have we? So it just doesn't happen. I mean, Cosy, I think you're the only person that saw the last Huddersfield Town automatic promotion.
That's a bit brutal. What we want to see on Saturday, Matt? I know everyone would take a 1-0, but I want to see on Saturday, mate, if we get one early, let's go for two, let's go for three, let's go for four, let's go for five. No bollocks, like with 2-0 up and let's sit back or whatever.
Let's just win the game, mate. Let's just win the game.
Yeah, no, what I want to see is just like energy. I think we can do, mate. I think we can give them a good.
I think we'll win the game.
What will their attitude be like? Will they be asked, really? Come on.
I don't know, mate. I really like Andrew Brighton, right? I think it's a really good appointment. I really like the direction Kevin Nagel wants to take us in now. I think it's all good. It's just staying above the dotted line. This, you know, I mean, if we go down, it everything just gets. You know, it's like 10 steps back, isn't it? And then, but if we just stay up. But Rotherham is it's the pivotal game of the season, isn't it, really? Because Rotherham have won three games all season. They haven't won for ages. They haven't won in the last 10 anyway. They've got one point in the last 10.
Christmas, November, something, I think.
Yeah, they've got one point in the last 10. They've got some good players. I don't know what's going on there, but they do have some good players. There's absolutely no doubt about it. But they just feel very, like we did in the Premier League season, they just feel a bit battered, don't they?
It's great to last year. I remember going that last game when they beat Cardiff and to seal it, but they've never really kicked on. But I think with us, we sold the Zend out, aren't we, quite early,
I didn't move fast enough, so I'm not going, so unfortunately. So I didn't.
Exactly. You see details coming out for Stoke. The games are just absolutely monumental.
Oh, that car park at Stoke, it still gives me nightmares, that bloody car park, honestly. It's the worst car park in the Football League. It's so bad.
Honestly, I know we'd say massive, but Killer, what would you say this game is in relation to the club's like recent history on Saturday? It's like, I know we're only, even if we lose it, we're probably only a point off getting out of it, but it's just everything that would signal if we don't win this game, even a draw would feel a defeat, wouldn't it? It's absolutely
I think survival kind of rests on it a little bit. Not necessarily just the points. It's not that. It's a mental aspect of it afterwards, and the pressure you'll have with the form of everybody around us. People will pick up points again at the weekend, and we won't be just 3 points away from 19th or 16th or whatever it is. That gap will open up. It's not going to stay like this until the end of the season. The gap will open up. And I think you look at us week to week and we look really, really good. But then if you look at the other teams around us, you're thinking, well, they look pretty handy on this week. And like, they've got Schmodix up at Blackburn, so they should be all right. He can score goals, he'll be all right. And then you start whittling around and seeing who's left. And then is there a team worse than us to finish third bottom? That's the question. And now if we can't beat Rotherham at the weekend, I don't know if you deserve to stay up considering how bad they are. Yeah, they started well, but you have that. They didn't start well, but when you get promoted, obviously you've kind of got a bit of form, and you're like Luton have done in the Premier League, and now they're dropping back down again. That kind of happens. Rotherham they're done. They're League One right at this point. You have to go there and get a result. And now that's a different pressure on Town as well, though, isn't it? When have we got into a game where we have to win it? That's what's happening this weekend. And mentally, on Sunday, we weren't there. We looked done. This week, Andre, how long has he been here? 3 weeks? Is it 3 weeks now then he's been in, or 4 weeks? He's got a job that I honestly think will dictate his kind of tenure at Town. I honestly think it's that big of a game. And I know you two think we're going to win it, but honestly, it's going to be tough because I don't think we can dictate play. I don't think we can do it. I really don't think this team.
We've generally got, during the Wagner era, we've generally got the worst passer of the ball, or the guy that we didn't want to have the ball, now as our most creative outlet. And it's genuinely shocking how we've managed to get into this situation. And we've been crying about this for years since Aaron Moy left. We did have Carolite in briefly, didn't we? But he had his biscuit knee, didn't we? So, but you know, it is really bad how we constantly go out and buy midfielders who are just the same carbon copy of what we've already got. It's crazy. You know, I like Alex Matos a lot, but is he dissimilar from Kasumu? Not really. Is he dissimilar from a young Jonathan Hogg? Not really. We've got three very similar sort of midfielders there. Go buy someone who can pass a bloody ball. It's just crazy, honestly, how it's been neglected for so long. It just boils my urine, shall we say. But I mean, the last thing to mention, Cozzy, is the Bradle Juice on International Women's Day did a great thread, didn't he, on the HTFC women's team. Well worth checking out. Check out Brady 0894. Call him a few names while you're there because he deserves it. But, you know, the HTFC women's team, I think, is it only 50 grand a year that they need, isn't it, to sort of run a year? It's not a massive amount. Us as a podcast do a little bit. We sponsor the captain, Beth Stanfield, who's great. She's had her injury issues this year, but she's been nice enough to do little updates for us on the women's team. And, you know, she's a really nice person, is Beth, and we're really happy to sponsor her. We couldn't wish for anyone better, I don't think. And they don't need much. And again, it's surfaced, hasn't it, that they want closer ties to the men's team. I think women's football's great. It's a great growing sport. I know a lot of town fans aren't interested in it, and that's fine. You can switch off, no problem. But some of us are. I'm interested in it. My other half, Rachel, she watches. She's Scottish, but she really likes the Lionesses. You know, she's probably the only English, the only Scottish person you'll see who tunes in for every England Lionesses match and cheers them from the absolute rafters. It's a strange paradox, I'll tell you. But she, you know, she loves it. You know, my little boy likes it as well. He likes Lauren James. He likes watching her play. So, you know, it is a growing sport. Huddersfield might have. There was a real window of opportunity, I thought, a couple of years ago, where Huddersfield were, I think, they were the second highest ranked club in Yorkshire. They could have really moved on to strength, you know, strength to strength. And now they've got sort of Brighouse, Halifax, Bradford, Leeds, all at a similar level. So they've kind of regressed slightly, and they're really sort of struggling with the league position. That, you know, they're sort of points behind West Brom at the minute, and they could potentially go down to the third tier, which would be a real shame for a club that have done so well over the last few years. But they've lost players as well because, you know, they have to, you know, because some of them get paid in the league and all sorts. There's reason to bring them closer, isn't there, Killer? There's reason to do it, not just because it's seen as a good thing to do, but because it's genuinely that they are Huddersfield Town, aren't they? That this is the thing, that they're a Huddersfield Town team, and you want them to represent the club with as best they can, and you want them to have the facilities that they can, you know, and things like that. And I really do hope that they do push closer together. And I thought Brady's bit was really good. So well done, Brady, you massive shithouse. We have to take a little bit away, don't we, for Brady? He's a great
player. I think it were interesting, Matt, because my friend's daughter plays for Sheffield United under 21s, and 2 days a week she trains.
She's good, isn't she? She's good, isn't she?
Molly, yeah, and that as well. But it's like, but she's at Huddersfield New College, and obviously she's like from Huddersfield area playing in Sheffield, where also the girls from Sheffield and that. So it's interesting how, you know, like schools are supporting
best
that.
Best Yorkshire
well.
Team then, mate. Sheffield United are the best Yorkshire. I think they're the best Yorkshire team at the minute. So they're very good, very good.
Yeah, and they're not in the WSL and that as well. And I kind of know the goalkeeper who's always on the, you know, bench and that as well. But I think it's quite interesting, Matt, because like when you go to like Sheffield United, Shirecliffe and that as well, they all wear the same training gear as the men's, and they kind of train in the same facility and stuff like that as well. But that's about it really, Matt. It's just like they wear the same badge and sponsored by Autoglass, different sponsor to stuff. What I found interesting with the Kevin Nagle thing with the, you know, with the Huddersfield manager, it was almost like, it was really weird. It was almost like a fan was like saying about the women's team, but this was the manager. And it's like, I think Kevin was saying...
The volunteers, aren't they? They're not professionals, yeah. They're volunteers. So,
but you'd think, like, it's an awkward one to kind of say, really, because, like, you just felt a bit weird this playing out on like on next, where I know it's Huddersfield Town women's, Huddersfield Town men's, but it's the kind of two totally different entities in that as well. It's almost like, you know, look, we need more funding, and this was the person who's like in charge of it. And it's just like, and Kevin Nagle, which kind of a lot of people were saying, right, he said, we need to get the men, we need to get everything right before we kind of look where we know, he's up for women's football, he's shown that in America and that's all, but it's almost like saying we've got to sort our house out before we can, you know, kind of look elsewhere.
I mean, that's kind of fair enough, isn't it? I mean, I think what he intimated was, we'll give you some money, kind of, or what it came across as was, we hear you, we'll try and give you some more aid, if you like. But in terms of getting involved, he said something about mediocre clubs, which I thought was, I didn't know how to take that. Why have you bought Huddersfield Town if you don't like mediocre football clubs?
It's almost like MRA's going on Chelsea, you know, website, and I don't know their owners now, but it's like MRA's saying, well, we need more money. And then you're thinking, hey, hang on a minute, this is Huddersfield Town, like, person here was like, I hope, like, tweeting the owner, but obviously it's nothing to do with it. I know they have our badge, but it's like, that's about as good as it gets to play in a different place. And so I don't know, I can kind of see it from both sides. I don't feel like
the thing is, Huddersfield has such a synonymy with women's football. It's important to remember why women's football isn't as popular as it was in the 20s and 30s when the FA decided that they couldn't play in the same stadium that men played in, and that really hampered it. Because Huddersfield had a scene. Now, Jim Chisholm, my good mate, we could talk to you all day long. He loves Huddersfield. That's where I'm going, Matt. And it was a football club based in Huddersfield. I played a few games at Sandshouse up at Crossland Moor, and they had an attendance in 1921. I think they played Bath Ladies. I can't remember if it was an exhibition game. It must have been, because I don't think they had Leeds back then. 15,500 people turned up at Leeds Road to watch it. And that were in 1921. And that's when, after that, they brought in the new rules where you couldn't play in the same stadiums. And I really do think there is a role for modern-day football clubs to have a women's football club, because the state of their game is what it is because of what happened to them. They were doing really well and it was taken away from them.
Up until the 80s as well, wasn't it? It was like late 80s when...
It's really recent memory. Most of us, well, maybe I wasn't, but you two were definitely alive at that point. So, like, it's in living memory for most people, especially because... But it is, that's where it is.
Well, it's really back then as well.
But it's just important. And Huddersfield is what you say, Matt. I think there were three. I think Jim will tell... Jim has written articles about this all over the place, I believe. And if anyone wants to research it a little bit, you can see, I think Huddersfield had three decent women's teams at one point. And it's something synonymous with Huddersfield. And now we're going into we're past our centenary year. We're at the stadium for 30 years next year. And then you've got thrice champions year this year, next year, and the year after. Americans love heritage, don't they? They're absolutely mad for it. They love the ring, the honor guard when you're in NFL and stuff like that. So to me, I thought it would appeal to them, considering the history that we have. And winning the money, like you say, Matt, is quite minuscule comparatively to the men's game. It wouldn't take very much, I don't think, to make a big difference to their fortunes. And Huddersfield's a big place.
There's arguments for local businesses to help as well, isn't there? It shouldn't just fall on Kevin Nagle, should it? You know, there's arguments to get local businesses involved. You know, it's like I say, it's not a lot of money.
Could they? Is there a possibility where they can play games at the stadium before the town home games? I think years and years ago they had reserve games before the senior men's games. Is that a possibility? Would that get more eyes on watching women's football? Because I think once you've seen it once, you get more interested and you go see it again. I think there'll be things town could offer. Or I hope there'd be things town could offer, maybe not financially, but to give them some sort of advantage, just to help them a little bit, because they seem to be a very well-run club. Matt, like you say, over the last few years, maybe not this season, but they've done really well, especially considering the resources
available. David Mallin's been the chairman for years, hasn't he? Kate Mallin's dad, and he's done such a great job, hasn't he, with them, and through probably a thankless task in many ways. You know, they've done so well to keep them where they are, and they're just struggling a bit this year, so any help that anyone could give them would be amazing, I think. So. But it is great, isn't it, mate? And so, you know, hopefully they'll take a look at that. But like you say, it doesn't take much. I mean, in the stadium, the issue there really is the number of games. I think with you know, Daniel Farke won't be very happy, would he? If Huddersfield women are playing there as well. But the point is the Giants play there as well, and I think the pitch after the West Brom game did look a little bit cut up. So I think the groundsman might sort of have something to say about that. But if they'd have built that, you know, if you go back to the original plans of Canalside as well, it had that stand, didn't it?
Matt, you're triggering it all. They had the stand and the fireworks.
All the teams could have played the training grounds. They could have played there.
Honestly, yeah. If they'd have built that stand like they were going to do. Yeah, if they'd have built that stand like they were going to do, you know, they could have played there in front of, you know, I think a lot more people would have been likely to go.
You could still build it now, Matt. There's lots of room down there. You could still build that now.
Yeah, it might come, but in Kevin Nagle's defence, he's got a lot on his plate, hasn't he, with the stadium. He's got to sort that out first and other bits and pieces. So hopefully it'll come and it'd be great if they were to do so, but... That's our last bit, isn't it, about women's football today. I don't think we've got much more for the agenda. We'll be back, won't we, after the Rotherham game. That's certainly going to be, all fingers crossed for that one. And, I mean, if we lose against Rotherham, I'm not sure we'll be back. Full stop. broadcasting from the Samaritans. Yeah, it'll just be a Samaritans phone in. Also, shout out to the guy that I met on Leeds Road on Sunday morning as well. Said he literally liked the podcast, which was really nice. It's always nice to get feedback when it's nice. That was good. I had Charlie on my shoulders, hood up out of the rain, and my missus was shouting at me from behind, and I couldn't hear her. And he was very nicely said, she's trying to contact you over there. And then he said, oh, it's my favourite podcast. Listen to it every Monday. And then we've let him down by recording this on Monday night and ready for Tuesday morning. So I've already shit-housed him. But there we go. That's it for us this week. Thanks, Killer. Thanks, Cozzy Bear. Fingers crossed for this week. It's a huge game. Tune in for Bradle Juice and the Brad Draw for the preview show. And hopefully we'll be back next week celebrating Town out of the bottom three.
There's a team that is dear to its followers. Colours are bright blue and white. They're a team of renown. They're the pride of the town. And the game of football is their delight. And all the while, upon the field of play, thousands loudly cheer them on the way. Often you can hear them say, who can beat the town today? And then the bells will ring so merrily, and every goal shall be a memory. So Town, play up and bring that cup back to Huddersfield. So Town, play up and bring the cup back to Huddersfield.
Lads, what's your favourite 90th minute goal?
Got to be Heffley against Leeds. A shot from Moy and sliding in at the death, Michael Heffley. Great finish to the game. Shared with my family, only made better by ordering McDonald's via McDelivery afterwards. 3 points, McNugget share box, spot on. Order McDelivery now by the McDonald's app. You in.
At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.